Everyone, welcome to the Thursday, January 2nd, 2020 edition of the MOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I will be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Hope you guys had a nice New Year's Day. Back to normal now. Got some news to talk about here. No fight announcements today. UFC was, they actually took a break for once, but definitely some news to talk about. I actually have some questions I'm going to answer later on the show from some listeners. So let's start with Conor McGregor. Apparently he's in great shape ahead of this Don Cerrone fight. There was a picture floating around. Now, pictures of fighters, you know, never are exactly what they seem. You know, the angles, filters, everything. But John Kavanaugh's coach says that it's true. He says that Conor's in amazing shape right now, and he's like, fans are going to be in for a treat. Guys, this fight's like 2 weeks away. It's crazy. Like, this fight really crept up. All of a sudden, Conor was gone forever, and now he's back so quickly. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, this fight's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it against Cerrone. And it could absolutely be a number one contender fight in the UFC lightweight division, even though it's a welterweight fight, which doesn't make much sense. Like, Dana White's like, oh, it's a lightweight fight, but they don't have to cut weight. Okay, that's cool. But still, anyways, yeah, apparently Conor's in amazing shape. The pictures do look good. Again, I don't always trust pictures, and I don't always trust coaching staff. But honestly, it seems like everything's pointing towards a very motivated, in-shape McGregor. And that's exactly what the MMA world needs. If this guy comes back and picks up a big win here against Cerrone, that'd be huge for the sport. It's huge for everyone. And the one guy it wouldn't be huge for, obviously, would be Justin Gaethje. I'll move on to the next comment here. Khabib Nurmagomedov's father, he's always in the news as well. He doesn't believe Justin Gaethje is as dangerous as Tony Ferguson. And, you know, I kind of agree a little bit. I do think Tony Ferguson's toughest matchup out there for Khabib. I think it's hard to disagree with that, actually. Tony's just much more proven in the UFC. He's only lost the one time to Michael Johnson. He broke his arm in that fight. Still managed to go the distance. Whereas Gaethje has been knocked out a couple times. And Gaethje's an amazing fighter. He is dangerous, for sure. He's wild. He's crazy. But, you know, so is Ferguson. He's wild and crazy, too. And he's a little bit more well-rounded, if you ask me. He shows off his ground game a lot more. Justin apparently has this great wrestling background. We know that. But we really haven't seen it in MMA. We only see his striking. Whereas Tony, we see his striking. We see his grappling. So, you know, Khabib's father's probably just going by what he's seen. I would agree with what he said, though. I do think Tony's going to be more dangerous than Justin. That's why he's getting the first title shot. That's why this fight is so competitive. But the second most dangerous guy, I would say right now, is Justin Gaethje. A little bit even more than Conor McGregor. And by the way, they did flip-flop in the UFC rankings, which I'm sure surprised Conor. But when you haven't fought in 3 years, like, honestly, Conor shouldn't even be in the rankings. You know, I'm not a Conor hater by any means, but when you haven't fought since 2016, why are you in the rankings still? It's kind of silly. And his next fight is a welterweight. Will he be put into the welterweight rankings, or is he going to be bumped up in the lightweight rankings for a welterweight fight? It's very confusing. So UFC rankings are stupid anyways. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, these fights could happen this year. It could be Tony, and if Khabib wins, you could see Justin Gaethje next. Then you could see Conor. I mean, that'd be a sweet year, right, for MMA fans. I'd watch that. Chan Sung-jung, he's looking for his next fight, obviously coming off a huge knockout win over Frankie Edgar. It was a very quick fight, didn't take any damage. And he's going to get some fun matchup for his next fight. He wants the title shot against Volkanovski, and I can't blame him, but Volkanovski's got the broken hand right now. He's going to be out for a minute. And there's a couple other guys that Chan Sung-jung mentioned as possible opponents, including Max Holloway, the former champion, Brian Ortega, who obviously was supposed to fight before Frankie Edgar stepped in, and Khabib Nurmagomedov, who I think is probably vying for the number one contender spot alongside Jung. He didn't mention Yair Rodriguez. That's a rematch I want to see personally, but maybe it doesn't make sense right now. I do think we'll see it one day. But all those fights are really good. You know, it just depends who they give the title shot to. If they give it to Khabib, then you'll probably see Jung fight Holloway. But if they give Holloway the rematch, you'll probably fight Jung, see Jung fight Khabib, and the winner get the title shot against the winner of the rematch between Holloway and Volkanovski. So lots of fun matchups there in the UFC featherweight division. And I should mention this, Edson Barboza is apparently dropping down to featherweight for his next fight. And I love this. I was surprised when I saw this news, guys. I had no idea he could even make 145. Like, he's a pretty big 155, pretty lean too. So I was shocked almost when I saw this news. But hey, if Jose Aldo can make 135, there's no reason why Barboza can't make 145. And if that happens, that's going to be really, really cool for that weight class. Big Edson Barboza fan, I'm sure everyone is. It's hard not to love the guy. He's put on some amazing performances over the years, some of the best knockouts in UFC history. There's some fun fights for Edson Barboza. What about Edson Barboza versus Korean Zombie? That's fun. What about Edson Barboza versus Yair Rodriguez? That's fun. Barboza versus Ortega. That's a fun fight. Zabit, like Holloway. Holloway versus Barboza sounds great. So there's some really good fights for Barboza at 145. I think it's the right move for him. Again, I didn't really know he could drop weight, but it's the right move when you look at it because he's lost at 155 at this point. He's lost to too many top guys. He's not going to contend for the title anytime soon. 145 is a fresh start for him, and he still has that big name, and he still has that highlight reel of victories in his career. So Barboza at 145, that's going to be pretty cool, guys. Let's switch over to PFL here. They obviously had their final card of the year the other night. It was a pretty solid card. One of the winners was Ray Cooper 3, and he called it Rory McDonald, and I love it. He wants to avenge BJ Penn's loss to Rory McDonald back in, I believe, 2012 in Seattle. And, yeah, BJ got beat up pretty good that night, and Rory McDonald was the man who did it. Rory's not the same guy he was back then. At that time, he was, like, the top prospect in the UFC welterweight division. And now he's kind of an aging veteran, if anything, in the PFL welterweight division. He will be in the next season's tournament. Ray Cooper 3 will obviously be in it as well, considering he just won the title. So this could be the first-round matchup. I feel like they're going to make the bracket, so it could happen later on. But again, you know, with PFL, it's like wins and losses are going to change the way the brackets go. So maybe PFL is just going to say, you know, let's get this fight out of the way in the first round and let's see this big fight and get the fans to see it. Or we could see it later on in the bracket. So we'll see what happens there. But I love the matchup. I think it'd be a fun one. Ray Cooper 3 is a really good fighter. He's already beat Jake Shields twice. He goes out there being Rory McDonald, and people are going to say this guy should be in the UFC. I think he should be there already. But again, he's making $1 million in PFL. Why would he go to the UFC? All right, let's answer some questions here. I got a couple of questions here. One from Marcus Williams. Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate the question. That was a good short video recap you did on last night's PFL event. How does fighter pay for PFL fighters compared to UFC fighters? For PFL fighters, you not win $1 million grand prize. I mean, it's I would say it's pretty, like, even if not, like, probably a little bit less for PFL fighters. It's just, it's really a tough question to answer, Marcus, because first off, the pay structure of MMA is so that we don't know exactly how much fighters are getting paid a lot of time. We know their disclosed salaries. That doesn't always say, you know, come even close to what they actually are being paid, like pay-per-view points, locker room bonuses. You know, there's lots of other stuff going on that we don't know about. So it's a very difficult question to answer. From what I know, PFL's fighters, if they don't win $1 million, like the runner-up, I think gets, I think, 100,000 or something like that. Like they're making good money. But the other guys in the tournament, like if you lose in the first round, I don't think you're making that much. You're probably making, like, you know, minimum salary kind of thing. I'm sure it's better than the regional scene. I mean, for sure it is. But, you know, it's very highly dependent if you win or not. If you win the tournament, you're making good money. But it's like, it's a crazy question to answer because, like, perfect example, Lance Palmer was talking about this the other day, or David Michaud was talking about this, actually. Not Lance Palmer. Lance Palmer, I mean, he's just killing it. But David Michaud was saying, like, you know, in the UFC, I was making, like, I think he said he was making, like, 20 or something like that after, like, 10, 5 or 6 fights. I can't remember what it was. But he's like, Leon Edwards, after 10 fights, is only making 50-50. It took him 10 fights to get there. Whereas I'm going to make $1 million possibly after like 5 fights in PFL. So it's highly dependent on where you rank and how much you draw. It's crazy, man. So it's a hard question to answer, Marcus. There's just so many different factors going into it. But at the end of the day, the one blanket statement I can say is MMA fighters are not paid what they should be paid. They should be paid a lot more money. And, you know, the story of the 2010s was probably the rise of guys like Conor McGregor and girls like Ronda Rousey who made the UFC big and kept the machine running. I would hope the story of the 2020s is the fighters finally getting their piece of the pie. All right, another question here, Lion Man 19. Thanks, buddy. So December 19, 26 are Saturdays. Where do you think the annual December Vegas card will end up in 2020? Or would it be January 2nd? That's a good question because they used to do it like later on, like closer to January. So it could be January 2nd, absolutely. We have seen that before. We've seen New Year's cards, basically. It's a hard question to answer, man. I really don't know. I will say this. I was looking at the schedule. Like, it's getting set now, guys. You know, for 2020, it's there's a lot of cards already set up. We have the 2 weeks off right now, so that's good. But then the next break would be April 6th. Or something, April 4th, excuse me. That's the next break. So it's a long time from now. So get ready, guys. It's going to be a crazy year. It's going to be a lot of fights, but it's going to be fun to watch. But to answer your question, I mean, that's a far time away. I don't even think the UFC probably knows yet, you know, based on historic, you know, precedents. You can just kind of look back at the last few years, like the end of the year card. So we had December 14th, and then we had December 29th, and then December 30th. We had December 30th. So you're probably looking around there. January 2nd for the Condit Lawler card. So it's a tough call, but I would say either of the two you mentioned. Not the 19th, I don't think so. I think it's going to be either the 26th or 2nd. But again, that's just a complete guess, and that's so far away. Like, it's, you know, literally 12 months away. All right, here we go. Got some comments here. Typical gamer, yo. Tony will be Khabib will be Tony, third round submission. Yeah, I mean, we'll see, man. I mean, like, you look at the odds. Like, most people do expect Khabib to win. And, you know, I've been thinking for a long time Tony's going to win. I'm kind of, like, leaning towards Khabib a little bit now, the more, like, I think about it. Tony is 36 now. Like, he's not young anymore. So I feel like maybe it's been too long, like, of a wait for him to get the title shot. But we'll see. I mean, my original read was Tony could win this fight because he's so well-rounded. But Khabib showing that knockdown power against Conor, and then obviously the ground game, it's kind of hard to go against him. Typical gamer, Conor doesn't deserve the title shot again. Justin does. I mean, it'd be hard for you to find someone who disagrees with you, man. Conor doesn't deserve the title shot. But let's be honest, dude. If he beats Cerrone, he's going to get the title shot. Like, that's what's going to happen. It's all about business. It's all about money. Justin's great. Love the guy. Who brings in more eyeballs? It's Conor McGregor. Ron Carlson, Tony will smoke a beef. So there you go. The guy on the other side of the fence. It's tough, guys. Honestly, for me, that's like the toughest fight of the year to call. Like, the odds are too lopsided, I think, for Khabib. Right now, it's minus 230, Tony plus 190. I get it. Khabib's the champ. He deserves that respect. But honestly, like, at plus 190, like, I do think there's probably value on Tony. But it's just such a tough fight to call. Like, that, to me, is my most anticipated fight of the year, more than Conor and Cowboy. And I love the Conor-Cowboy fight. It's a fun fight. But that fight, I think, is much more in Conor's favor. Although Marcus disagrees, Marcus is all over Cerrone. He's going to Vegas. He's going to hopefully cash some bets on Cerrone. But I think McGregor wins. And McGregor right now is a minus 320 favorite, with Cerrone at a plus 260 underdog. So the odds makers agree with him on that one. All right, guys. And anyone has any last second questions, throw them in there right now, because I'm going to get out of here in a second. But just throw them in there quickly. I'm just going to see if I missed anything. Let's see here. Dana White's got he had this crazy interview with ESPN where he just talked about so many things. So one of the things was Justin Gaethje just says they've been offering fights. He's turning him down. He turned him down because he wants a title shot. So, you know, you can't blame Justin. Justin's one of those warriors. Hey, when Dana throws the Warriors under the bus, that bothers me. He says they're working on the Mayweather fight. Says Mayweather's going to fight if it happens. It's not going to be a co-promotion thing. It's going to be a fight. Like, he's going to co-promote as well, but he's going to be fighting. And I think it's going to be in boxing, just under the Zuffa boxing banner. I don't see him doing an MMA fight. And John Jones, again, the heavyweight, he's just kind of unsure about it. And, you know, John Jones heavyweight is something we've all been talking about like 5 or 6 years now. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Who knows? It's a new decade, maybe. John Jones, I don't know if it's going to happen, guys. Like, we've been talking about this for so long, and it's just like, you know, nothing. We haven't heard anything. It just seems like Jones is very okay with the fact that he's at light heavyweight and setting all these records and fighting guys like Dominic Reyes, where he couldn't go to heavyweight and fight Stipe Miocic, and it's a tougher matchup for the same amount of money, most likely. All right, Eddie D, UFC will sign Charles Felony Bellet to face McGregor, so Ronnie pulls out. That's funny, man. You know, I love Crazy Horse. He's crazy. Go back and watch his fight with, I think it was Gomi and Pride. It's so funny. He, like, jumps on top of the turnbuckle and just sits there. It's really funny stuff. But yeah, he is fighting still. But yeah, he's not the same guy he once was. And Ron Carlson, Tony will not be second round possible. Very possible, man. Don't go against Tony. He's a tough guy to bet against. He's won 12 straight fights. So is Khabib in the UFC. Khabib obviously undefeated, 28-0, but Tony Ferguson, 15-1 in the UFC. You can count his time on Tough, 18-1. The one loss to Michael Johnson, broke his arm in the fight. Remember that. All right, guys, that's it for today's podcast. If you have any questions, throw me on Twitter. I'll answer tomorrow. On Twitter, at MMAdamMartin. Podcast is always available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. You guys can always follow me there at MMAoddsBreaker.com. We'll have my articles there. Also, BJPenn.com and MMAreigns.net. Got that article on Fedor and what I think is next for Fedor over there. All right, guys, That's it for today's podcast. Hope you had a great New Year's Day, and I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the show. Have a good one, guys. Bye.